artık ya.
Footage captured Saturday by Turkish journalist Fatih Pinar in Ankara shows scores of people dead, maimed, and walking wounded, crying out in vain for ambulances and medics to attend to the injured. As the country comes to grips with the deadliest attack on civilians in its modern history, many are questioning how it could have happened and why. Why did it take security forces and emergency services more than 20 minutes to arrive at the scene outside Ankara's central train station? No one has yet claimed responsibility. Turkey's government condemned the attacks and broadly suggested who it suspects might be responsible. Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu suggested Monday that either the PKK or a deeply infiltrated radical group could be behind the carnage. But in an interview with Turkish broadcaster NTV, he said the so-called Islamic State, known here by its Arabic acronym Daesh, is most likely to blame.
Buradaki saldırıda da.
These three terrorist organizations are seen as potential suspects for this attack. But when we looked at how the attack happened and the general tendency of the events, Daesh has become the primary suspect.
Many people here blame the government for, at the very least, failing to protect its own people. In Diyarbakır, hundreds of mourners turned out to bury a local politician and an elderly woman activist, both of whom were killed in the attack. The city's mayor, Gülten Kesenek, says so far there are more questions than answers. She notes that the bombs exploded near some of the most guarded areas of the city.
The Prime Minister's office building is there. All of the important institutions are in that very center, and there are intelligence officers who are protecting them. There are cameras everywhere. So for such blasts in such a central area, it's impossible that the state had no knowledge that this was going to happen.
The weekend attack came the same day that the PKK offered a unilateral ceasefire to allow for parliamentary elections, scheduled in less than 3 weeks. But the government dismissed the offer, calling it a political tactic, and doubled down on its assault on PKK guerrillas in the mountains. Turkish F-16s continue to fly sorties against PKK positions, and warplanes buzz low over Diyarbakır. At the funeral, Vesel Ok, a local media attorney, says people here don't want to return to war. They've already had plenty of that in more than 30 years of an insurgency that's claimed more than 40,000 lives and counting.
People is so angry, I think, from the government, from the state.
It seems like people are being kind of pushed together, pushed to fight, right?
Yes.
Now. How far do you think people will be pushed here before they'll push back?
I think people don't want war. Don't want war. Yesterday there is a walking in Diyarbakır. Around 10,000 people is walking, and they say one thing, only peace.
The PKK issued a statement on an affiliated website Monday, saying out of respect for the dead, it will continue its unilateral ceasefire, but added the group would defend itself if attacked. Turkish military officials say operations are ongoing and claim Sunday airstrikes killed 17 PKK fighters. Two Turkish soldiers reportedly died in weekend clashes elsewhere in the country. Meanwhile, the historic center of Diyarbakır remains sealed by security forces aiming to clear PKK fighters from the heart of the city. An opposition politician told FSRN Monday that security forces killed at least a half dozen people in the city since Saturday. And for the residents of Diyarbakır, a return to some semblance of normal life seems to be an increasingly distant prospect. Jacob Resnick, FSRN, Diyarbakır, Turkey.